Okay, it's 4 o'clock, so why don't we start the meeting and let's start with a roll call, Mike.
Yes, sir. Chair Beasley?
Here.
Vice Chair Latchford?
Here.
Commissioner Mason?
Here.
Commissioner Newell?
Here.
Commissioner Solverson?
Here. I'm getting all okay.
Okay, it looks like we have a quorum. Mike Stanish, did you receive any emails for the equivalent of the blue card for call audience?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay, then why don't we skip over that and head for the staff liaison report?
So, Chair Beasley, members of the commission, we have a couple items to discuss this evening or afternoon. One of them was an item that you requested at the last commission meeting, just as an update on our investments. And so I just wanted to kind of briefly highlight that, some of the information that I've taken a look at. So the town invests primarily in U.S. Treasuries and federal agency bonds, which is about 50% of our portfolio. It also invests in corporate bonds, CDs, and CDs, supranationals, and asset-backed securities. And it also has a small amount invested with both the state and county LGIP, which is the local government investment pool. So the state treasurer manages the state local government investment pool, and the county treasurer manages the county local government investment pool. And the investments must meet criteria established by Arizona revised statutes. Maturities that I see in our portfolio typically range in the 1 to 5 year range. We don't have a lot that's much shorter than that. And for investments not in the LGIP, which again, we just have a small amount included in both the state pool and the county pool. So the bulk of our investments, we use an investment advisor. They do perform quarterly investment performance reviews with us. And the next one is actually scheduled for tomorrow. And with that, I'll be happy to entertain any additional questions that you may have.
Do you know what the current yield is on that portfolio?
I don't. I think it varies, Commissioner, Chair Beasley. I think the yield varies depending on the type of investment that we are in. So you know, I think, again, most of our stuff is in either U.S. Treasuries or Fannie Mae's or Freddie Mac's. Which are government agency bonds. So, and then with a short duration, it's, you know, I'm guessing it's probably in the 3 to 4% range. I'll definitely find that out tomorrow, as we have our quarterly performance review.
I think the budget shows about $500,000 of anticipated revenues. Does that number come from your investment advisor?
Yeah, Chair Beasley, members of the commission, it is an estimate. So the our investments are what are called mark to market. So basically, we have two components to our investments. We have the interest income, which is actual earnings. And then we have, when we mark to market, we have what's called an unrealized either gain or loss on the underlying principal of the investment. And so so it's kind of a combination of a couple things. The interest earnings on the investments is certainly a lot easier to project and forecast than the that unrealized piece, because that really is a component of the economy, of supply and demand for those investments. Typically, when you see the stock market drop, you'll see a flight to quality investments, which is what we're invested in. And so those investments will actually, as the yield will go down, the price on those investments will actually increase. And so, because of the demand. And so that is something that that is kind of difficult to project. I don't know that we'll ever get really good certainty on what that looks like from a budget standpoint, other than to look back historically, understand what we have in reserves and what we have invested, and try to project it from there.
Do you think the $500,000 that's in the budget includes some capital gains from the drop in interest rates?
Chairman Beasley, guys, this isn't on the agenda. I don't think we can discuss it.
Okay.
Sorry. It's just a report, so.
Okay, all right. So we can't ask questions, is that what you're telling me?
Well, not unless till you get to the regular part of the budget. So.
Okay, all right.
Let me, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
I could just ask one question, which I don't think will violate the issue about being on the agenda or not. David, you said you have a meeting tomorrow with the investment advisors or council. Maybe we could request a update from that when you have a moment. No urgency, then we're not going to change things, but it'd be interesting to see what they have to say, considering all that we've been through this year, all of us in terms of investments. And it might be interesting to get an update from David as to how that meeting went and what was discussed.
Yeah, I can certainly provide kind of a general economic update at the July Budget Finance Commission meeting. So, because I think that's what we'll be discussing tomorrow by and large. I mean, I doubt we'll be getting into the, we could, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been through one of these with PFM, but I doubt we'll be getting into the details of the, you know, well, you're in this corporate bond and in this, you know, five-year treasury, whatever. I think we'll be discussing more general market conditions and where we, and expectations moving forward over the next quarter and even year.
Yeah, that's excellent, David. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll go forward. Do you have anything else, David, for us?
Yeah, I think the other item that we were going to discuss was, if I remember correctly, was the town's self-insurance. And so I think town manager Jacobs will be discussing that.
Certainly. I just wanted to let the Budget and Finance Commission know, as you may recall, I believe it was the last in-person meeting that the BFC had. One of our constituents did suggest that the town should have a trust for our self-insurance fund for our insurance. And I wanted to let the commission know that we're actually working toward that. So, the state law has some requirements in it regarding the population size, and since Pima County will hit that mark, and as of the 2020 census, we are moving ahead and putting into place having a trust in accordance with state law to manage or to oversee, I should say, our employee benefit trust. So we are working with a legal counsel and our benefit advisor, and that will come before council probably in early 2021 calendar year for implementation as of July 1st of 2021. So this is a separate body that's required by statute and with very specific requirements under it. So I just wanted you all to have that answer, and sorry, I should have followed up with that at our last meeting, and it just slipped my mind. So thank you for bringing that up last time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anything else on staff liaison reports?
No, I believe that should cover the two items that were requested at the last commission meeting, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much. Shall we go into the regular session agenda?
Item number one, discussion on update of town finances.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, we don't have, I know, Mr. Chairman, you requested a presentation on this. We don't actually have a presentation available for this item because the information is still incomplete. We did present our April information at the last Budget Finance Commission information. This information that we have available is May information. And really what we have is sales tax analysis numbers. And so I'd like to kind of, and again, this is, these are not finalized, but this is the best information, the most current information that we have at this point in time. And so we certainly wanted to share that with you. Basically the way this is shaping up, first off, I'd like to say the May sales tax collection information is for the month of April. So April really is kind of, I would submit that first month that we should see the true impacts of the coronavirus and what it's having on our sales tax collections. The information that we have so far for that is our retail is down about 6.3% compared with May 2019. So if we compare May 2019 to May 2020, we're down about 6.3%. Our restaurant and bar collections for that month were down about 50%. Our hotel tax is down about 91%, and our hotel and bed tax, kind of combine those together, both those are down about 91-92%. Our contracting is down about 4%, and all of our other categories are actually up 28%, interestingly enough. All that kind of sounds grim, but if you compare year to date, May 2020 to May 2019, the comparison actually, which is probably a more accurate comparison because you're actually comparing year to date information for last year versus this current fiscal year, it's shaping up as our retail is actually up 4%. Our restaurant and bar is down 7%. Our hotel and bed tax are, our hotel is down 25%. Our bed tax is down 34%. Our contracting is actually up almost 4%. And all of our other categories are up almost 14.5%. So overall, the way this is looking, if we compare that, so we're just comparing year to date there. If we actually compare it to the budget numbers and what we project, or what we were projecting even as recently as a couple weeks ago, what we shared with the commission, we are actually projecting that we're gonna end the year about 2% over budget for all sales tax categories combined. If you'll recall at the last meeting about a couple weeks ago, we were actually projecting that we were going to be 2% under budget, and we think that now we're actually going to be 2% above budget. So things are not great, certainly currently in the environment that we're in. We would prefer that they were better, that we could kind of move past this coronavirus and help out our restaurants and hotels, certainly as they're suffering pretty significantly, but overall the town is actually not in horrible shape financially in terms of our highest revenue source compared with our budget, compared with last fiscal year when you make those comparisons. With that, Wendy, Michael, feel free to jump in and correct me if I'm wrong with that assessment, but Michael actually did the work on this. He's been keeping up on it. Again, we've been, as we always have strived to be very conservative in our revenue forecasts, even moving through the balance of this fiscal year. And I think that is, again, serving us well. So With that, again, be more than happy to entertain any questions that you may have on this item. This is an agendized item, so I will open it up for questions. Thank you.
David, this is Commissioner Latchford. Could you tell me what, it sounds like a 4% swing you're talking about from being 2% down and potentially 2% up, and that's for the month of April?
Correct.
And what does 4% translate into dollars? I don't have that.
Commissioner Latchford, members of the commission, basically, when we say we're going to end up about 2% over budget, total our total projections here are at 21.756 million, or almost $21.757 million. And our total budget is 21.165 million dollars. So that's about $500,000 difference between the budget. So if we're forecasting that, I think it's around $1 million. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm just doing quick math, Michael and Wendy. It's about $1 million difference between 2% under and 2% over budget.
Well, that's pretty impressive if that holds, of course, and no one knows, and you can't take that to the bank because you haven't seen the actual numbers, but that's at least a step in the right direction, sort of consistent with what we heard in the news this morning. I also would have a nice impact on going into next year's fiscal year. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
So does it look like you're projecting about $21 million for sales tax then for FY20?
Yeah, Commissioner Mason, members of the commission, we are projecting most recent projections. We're ballparking it at 21.757 million, essentially.
Thank you.
And it looks like Wendy has a comment. Her hand is raised, so she can be unmuted.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Dave did a great job recapping just, kind of locally some of the things we're seeing. Obviously, the sales taxes were better for the month than we had anticipated. I will mention that the University of Arizona Eller College just came out with their second quarter Arizona economic outlook. And they as well had been able to kind of fine tune some of the numbers they were looking at and kind of echoing the same thing about, well, yes, you know, obviously we're in a decline. It is a downturn. The downturn could be similar to the 08, 09 recession, but in some areas really was not as bad as what it could have been and what we were anticipating. And they referred to the Nike swoosh type recovery is kind of what they're looking at right now. So just wanted to throw that out as more of a kind of a state perspective. Thank you.
Now, Mary, you had made a comment to me that the internet sales have really helped in terms of the drop off of brick and mortar. I mean, how much of a transition have we actually seen there?
Actually, I'm going to let Michael Deckman, he's got the detail behind that, and he can fill you in on some of that breakdown.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Commissioner Beasley, that's a great question. Really, remote collections, they've been doing pretty well. I mean, looks like for the month of May, remote collections were near $90,000, which is actually similar to what they were during like the holiday shopping season. So while we are seeing that drop off in brick and mortar and retail, some of that is being made up with the online sales.
Just a quick question. How does that work? How does that get identified to Oral Valley? Is it by location of the merchant or where the order is made, or how does that work?
Yeah, Commissioner Mason, I do believe, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe it's based on your shipping address, the zip code for your shipping address is how they determine the sales tax collections for your purchase online.
And does the state, who does the calculation there? Does the state do that, or how do they get the information, or how does that come about?
I believe the job on the calculations is put on the back of the vendor. It's their job to calculate the correct sales tax and per the location, and then they remit that. And then for Arizona, it does come to the state through ADOR, and then it comes down to us.
Thank you.
Anybody have any other questions? When will the May actual financials be completed? David Newell, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. Sorry, wrong button. First, I'd like to apologize. I think I mentioned at our last meeting that, you know, I was concerned about what the next disaster would be after a year of disasters. I was not anticipating fate to begin a forest fire right on our borders that we've all been looking at. So I'd like to apologize to the citizens of Oro Valley for tempting karma here.
You also mentioned locusts, if I remember too. So.
Yes. So, and my concern with that was I was worried about what a second wave might look like, and I was troubled by the infection rates 2 weeks ago. And I would just like to point out that although I'm very glad to hear that these projections have been rosier than we thought, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, in certain places our sales tax seems to have been recovering. My concern is that looking at current numbers and an elevated amount of risk over the last, since our last meeting, you know, the virus is going to make these decisions for us. And I just want to make sure that we're being cognizant of the fact, and it's on the record, that we are aware of the possibility that there may have to be another going into a shutdown mode or repression or, you know, really looking at social distancing at a much more intensive level, given the uprise in cases and our hospitalization usage rates. And that's the purpose of being conservative here. It isn't that we got by the hump. It's that we have to be conservative because there could be another hump to get over, and it could be longer and more intense than the last one.
You have anything else, David?
That's all. I did have, when appropriate, I do want to have a comment on the notes sent to that were collected to send to council. But other than that, I'm pretty good when it comes to our financial state at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get into those when we get into the budget. Any other question for the update on the town financials?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, it looks like Wendy and Josh both have their hands raised.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, commission members, I hope everyone can hear me okay. Just letting you know, we do plan on delivering the May financials to council on the July 15th meeting. So they can come to you as well on the, I've got your next meeting pegged for the 21st, is that correct? Of July? And
so, I think so, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I should probably ask Tobin or Mary if I can even make a comment or ask a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. So
I was going to say, I'll let Tobin weigh in on that one.
Okay. Yeah, you're not supposed to comment.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Do you have anything, John? Okay. Not hearing anything else, should we go into the budget discussion?
Item number two, discussion of town manager's recommended budget.
So, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman, members of the commission, this is just another opportunity for the commission to discuss the town manager's recommended budget. The plan is for us to present the tentative budget, a tentative budget proposal to the town council tomorrow evening. This was kind of a tricky one for me because I don't want to assume anything certainly, but I think the commission has certainly had enough time, hopefully had enough time to discuss and have their say in the town manager's recommended budget. What I really wanted to do is kind of hit at a high level some things to be expecting for the changes for the tentative budget. And I don't know if I'm out of line there or not, but I didn't want to get into a lot of the details related to the tentative budget simply from the standpoint that just full disclosure here, the town council hasn't had the opportunity to review that. I think they ought to have that first opportunity, which they'll certainly have tomorrow evening. But just kind of to try to grease the skids or give you a sense of what some of those changes might look like for tomorrow evening's proposal. So with that, I'll turn the reins over to Town Manager Jacobs, and also probably Michael Dykeman will probably chime in on both of those, or chime in on this item as well. And I may jump in there as well. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. As we discussed at your last meeting, I indicated that we would be digging in a little bit more on how we would recommend to council the use of the freed up additional $5.3 million in reimbursement from the CARES Act. And we did get some additional clarification. I provided the council at their meeting, at their last meeting, with an outline regarding kind of general categories in which I felt that those that the council should consider allocating those, with the understanding that I'd come back with detail. And after a terrific discussion on the part of council, what I will be presenting tomorrow evening is a recommendation that $2.5 million of that $5.3 million be placed into the contingency fund. And that would be in addition to the $5 million that's already in there. So that would be a total of $7.5 million in contingency. And then the remaining dollars would be allocated to, and again, I will not have this for council tomorrow, but the remaining dollars will be allocated for business support. That was something that I had already included in the budget, and there's a great deal of support on the part of council to figure out what it is that we can do within the confines of the gift clause, how we can support our local businesses, increase our consumer confidence, get people back into those businesses. And again, we have hired a consultant to help us put a plan and a program together. So I don't know for sure what those dollars are, but that should be in the $1 million plus range out of that remaining dollars. And then I have a category called town services and continuity of operations. These are for things that we really need to be prepared to have or to do in to work in this new environment. For example, additional technology and technology support for our employees. We're seeing a lot more remote usage, and remote usage causes impacts on our software, on our licensing, on just having people having proper equipment at home to be able to do their jobs, on just the support that they need from the IT office, and even the use of our telephone system remotely. There's all of these things are things we hadn't planned for, and so we need to make some investments in that. We also need to make some technical and physical improvements in our facilities here on campus. For example, touchless things, touchless soap dispensers and paper towel dispensers. We need to make some investments in the council chambers for the future so that we can accommodate what's going to be our new normal as far as how we have in-person meetings and what that is going to look like. And that includes some technology investments in there and our conference rooms. Also just health and sanitation for employees and visitors. We also need to do some additional equipment for police and also recruitment expenditures. And so those are our main items. And again, we're putting the detail together now that we will provide to council, and they will then discuss at their July 1st regular meeting. We're scheduling a study session for that day as well. And then future resurgence. We want to ensure that we've got resources available for future resurgence and what those additional costs might be. Reserve some of those dollars for council's strategic priorities. And then, of course, just some flat contingency. And so, you know, again, these are, you know, we're focusing largely on those one-time expenditures and preparing ourselves for the future. So what you're going to see in the recommended budget, and we literally just finished up all of the required forms that need to go out, and they've now been posted on the website. But the budget is going up by about $4 million. And the reason why it's not going up, so we already had $1 million in there that we planned. We had 5.3, but we saw a reduction in the community center fund as a result of the Billy Casper. We now have their new estimates. They've reduced both the revenues and the expenditure side. And then we had some other minor adjustments, as we always do from the time that a recommended budget is developed, on an impact fee fund and some other things that I'm sure Michael can chime in on with that detailed list. But of course, the big news is the addition of that, what will amount to a net $4.3 million in revenue to the town. So I don't know, Dave, if it's all right, I'd like Michael to just kind of review what those other minor changes are to the recommended budget from what you all saw as the Budget and Finance Commission. Michael? Hold on.
Should be good, hopefully. There we go. Thank you. I'll kind of keep it fairly high level, and feel free to stop me or jump at any point if you want to drill down a little more. As Town Manager Jacobs mentioned, in the general fund, kind of the change from the manager's recommended budget to the tentative budget going before council tomorrow, the change is about $4.3 million or 9.7%. And that's mostly going to be almost wholly related to the AZ CARES funding, increasing that. The other big change, again, was going to be seen in the community center fund, where with the addition of Billy Casper's, both revenues and expenses, compared to the 2020 true numbers that were in there as a placeholder. So those numbers changed there as well. In the capital fund, there were a few tweaks too. There was a project rollover, a CIP project in this fiscal year that they're rolling over about $200,000. So that is moved over in the capital fund. So expenses went up there about 3.6% for the $200,000. In the enterprise funds, they remained basically flat. There was a $6,000 change, just a few tweaks, just finalize some personnel numbers in there to get them as rock solid as possible. And then all other funds, that's all the debt service funds, the special revenue funds, the internal service funds combined, they went down about 1% or about a little over $200,000. And that's mostly due to a few tweaks of things, and also some reduction in budgeted contingency that was over budgeted at manager's recommendation. And then all in all, yeah, that translates to a budget increase of about $4.5 million or 4.5%.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, we're happy to answer any questions that you may have about these minor changes and any additional questions you may have from the previous recommended budget. Thank you.
What might be the timing of the exit of these CARES funds?
I'm sorry, Chairman, the timing of the
receipt of the CARES funds. Do we have a good handle on that?
Dave, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, the timing is going to be as quickly after July 1st as possible. And we will get an application submitted to the state virtually immediately. We'll probably get it filled out prior to June 30th, to be honest with you. And then we'll submit it right after July 1, because the state is going to allow estimated public safety personnel expenditures to be utilized for that funding. Their intent is to get that money into cities and towns' hands as quickly and as expeditiously as possible. And so that is what the plan is. And I would imagine that funding would happen sometime that first week of July. Hmm.
Chairman, I have a couple of questions if I could.
Go ahead, John.
Under the recommended budget, and this one I guess would be directed to either David or Town Manager Jacobs. I know there was a lot of concern that the contingency that we had put into place, the $5 million, was causing us to dip into the council's 25% reserve policy, which I don't know if that's ever been done before or whether that's commonplace. I don't have the history. But with the now tentative budget coming through with the additional dedication of $2.5 million into the contingency and the other reallocations, does that what impact does that then have on the policy?
Actually, we talked about that internally, and as it turns out, and I'll let our CFO describe it or Wendy in more detail, but with this additional revenue, what happened is the calculation by which we determined that 25% changes, and so our $5 million contingency no longer dips into that 25%. So we've resolved that issue, and there is no need to have to worry about that. I don't know, David, if you want to jump in beyond that.
Yeah, I think Town Manager stated it well. I always viewed us dipping into the 25% as a remote possibility. Honestly, I just thought that was not a strong likelihood really whatsoever. And then when we got the CARES Act money, I thought that likelihood even declined even that much more. So, and then the way that we've handled this in terms of the budget impacts, it resolved itself altogether. So,
Okay. Well, that certainly will make a presentation of the tentative a lot easier, won't it?
And if I may, Commissioner Latchford, I do just want to mention that there have been no expenditures of the 25% reserve, at least since, and I believe Wendy can correct me, but I think even during the recession, there was no cash dipping in. They didn't need to actually spend any of the 25%, okay? However, it was always budgeted in the budget, always, for potential use. And that's all that this does in the budget here, is simply for potential use. This is the very first year since, I don't know, since before Wendy was on board for sure, that the town did not budget all of its funds in its budget. So this is new, and that's why we're adjusting a little bit to make sure that we are including in the budget enough in our cap that if there really, really is a significant issue, that we can address it. My feeling, and I think Dave is right. If we have to spend $7.5 million, the whole country's in a world of hurt, not just us. Like we're in deep, deep problems here. Right. So I can't imagine that we will have to spend $7.5 million on a $44 million general fund. If we do, we have some significant problems. We'll be looking at layoffs. That is a whole nother ball of wax, but we have it there. And it is because, you know, as Commissioner Newell mentioned, and he laid it out for us to have these more challenging issues. Thank you so much, Dave. we've got these issues. We don't know what's going on. And so we want to be prepared. But we don't have to worry about it. Even that $5 million does not touch into the 25% any longer because of the recalculation.
Yeah, I certainly recognize that there's a practical application here that needs to be considered in the highly unlikely event that we did have to dip into it even with $7.5 million. But then we also have to deal with the policy level of it. And, you know, I didn't know how sacred the policy was, but I kind of gathered since we've started this commission that it's rather sacred, and it's something you really don't want to violate unless you have to. So thank you for your response.
Yeah, I believe Commissioner Sulverson has her hand raised.
Go ahead, Kathy. She unmuted, Mike?
She currently is unmuted on our side, yes.
You.
It's possible she's muted on her side on her device.
Anybody else have any questions while we're waiting for Kathy to unmute?
Well, I'll jump in, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind. I know that the council is going to entertain the proposed pension liability policy, and that's not for discussion here, but the $500,000, is that, I can't recall, is that included in the tentative budget that's being requested through the policy, or is that, I don't think it was in the recommended, my note says it wasn't. So what happens now?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Latchford, I did at the town council study session last week recommend that as one of the town council's strategic priorities, that $500,000 come out of the $5.3 million in CARES Act made available funding. So, however, what I don't know at this point until we do all of the math is whether or not all of the other recommendations for the part that's not going into contingency is going to be adequate to cover. And so it might be that it would be in the contingency pot, the $2.5 million, and then the council would at the end of the fiscal year direct staff through a budget amendment to make that available for the additional payment for PSPRS. But that is, you know, that was my recommendation to council last week, and we're finalizing those numbers now. So without that additional revenue, it was my recommendation that it not be included unless we did not need to use the $5 million in contingency, in which case then I would come back to council in the springtime with a budget amendment so that the council could then make an allocation at that time. So it's always been my interest. The question is, do we have it in the base budget or do we reserve it in the contingency subject to strong financials?
Thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm.
Have we heard from Kathy?
I saw her leave the meeting. She's probably trying to dial back in to see if she can.
Okay. Can you see me now?
Yep.
All right. Can you see me now? Yeah. Okay. I'm on my phone now.
Yes.
Here I am. Okay. Now I'm on my phone because my computer was giving me a hard time. So sorry, I had to hop on my iPhone. My question had to do, Mary, with the CARES Act funding and sort of the accountability of that. And my question is, do the departments get the funding at that level? For example, if you're giving IT funding because they have to do some additional, put some additional security enhancements or whatever they have to do, would they get a bump up in funding, or is the money held at like a separate kind of like CARES bucket that's identified as that?
Yeah, Commissioner Salverson, that's exactly what I'm going to do. We're going to put it into the general administration bucket so that it can be separately accounted for and not be a bump up to a departmental budget.
Okay, good. And all of that funding, it sounded to me like was one-time expenditure funding as opposed to something that would be year over year.
Well, I will say, and I've asked, you know, there could be some year over year, for example, for software licensing. If this is the new normal, right, mm-hmm. and these are things we have to do in order to provide that access and that continuity, there could be some costs that will end up being continuing costs. But I'm going to be digging into that, you know, that while we may have to make some expenditures in that realm, my goal is going to be that we minimize those ongoing costs and really focus on the one time.
Okay. And I would assume that if some of the costs kind of crept into the ongoing budget, then we would need to look for what other costs perhaps we could reduce to offset that.
But certainly, if not this fiscal year, then yes. Mm-hmm. Then next fiscal year for sure. Absolutely. Because we do want to still, you know, obviously our goal is a structurally balanced budget.
Right.
And, but if these are, you know, some of these are, if these are costs that we need in order to continue to do business here, then we've got to figure out what those trade-offs are.
Okay. I had another cost just, or a question just about capital. I didn't know if there's any way you could delay starting some of the capital projects or push them out just to have a little bit more control over that. And in other words, maybe if you delayed starts for a quarter, we would then have a feel for how the funding was coming in and then have control over maybe spending or not spending at that point.
Certainly, Commissioner Salverson, we're already planning to do that. There are very few capital projects that are ready to go within the first 3 months. There's a lot you have to do to develop bid specs and go out bid and all that kind of thing. So yes, that is certainly our plan. We've already asked our departments to prioritize what are the things that, you know, could we move forward with design? Could we get it ready to go? Could we bid it backing in, you know, trying to achieve it by the end of the fiscal year, wherever possible? Where are those milestones that we'd have to meet? So they're working with procurement right now on trying to put some of those plans together. And, but yes, we absolutely have some that don't need to get started until after the first of the calendar year.
Okay. That's good. Cause I think we'll have to be really watching everything.
Absolutely.
With a lot more fidelity. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Kathy?
That's it for now.
Okay, thank you.
I got a couple questions. The first is, I wanted to go back and ask a question of our town manager. She mentioned that there some of this CARES money was going to be used for IT controls, that's the service needed to handle work from home. Is there any anticipation of what a 10-year plan moving forward for office space might think and facility needs might look like if you're investing in a lot of remote work capabilities? Maybe in 3 or 4 years, you won't need as much office space as the standard of work would be more remote space. If you're doing more from Zoom or more virtual teams or just more work from home.
Certainly, Commissioner Newell, that is absolutely something that we are discussing internally. And developing a space needs plan was something that we were preparing to do as one of our strategic objectives. And yes, I think this impacts us considerably in terms of space needs. It's gotten us to rethink things a little bit about what are the needs and what things could be done from home on a regular basis. So, you know, we might be able to do shareable spaces or, you know, that type of thing. I think this is going to be the topic of considerable discussion in local government, and I suspect that we're looking at a change in our paradigm as far as do we have to be here in the office? There's certainly and no question that there are some drawbacks to not having that physical presence with one another as far as work teams. And as you know, we do have a lot of field staff and that kind of thing where we need to have some space. But I think it does afford a number of opportunities and we intend to take advantage of those.
Would you think some of that potential shareable space might also be shareable with community groups, nonprofits, et cetera? In other words, thinking about meeting rooms, some office spaces, but also ways that the space that you might need might not only be available for city employees, but also city groups, whether they're nonprofit or even maybe incubator type spaces. It would be truly shared space, not just by the city, but also by, the residents and businesses of the city.
Honestly, Commissioner Newell, I hadn't given that some thought, or had not given that any thought. But we certainly will consider whether or not that's something that we are able to do. We do still have gift clause requirements, and that means that we can't necessarily provide a dedicated, free space for a particular nonprofit or that kind of. We've always made our conference room spaces available where we can. Our challenge, quite honestly, has been that we just did not have the kinds of conference room spaces available and still make them available for our for town business. But one of the challenges is making sure that our space is going to accommodate, at least for the foreseeable future, the social distancing requirements that are likely to continue to be in effect for some time. And that's, from your experience here, Commissioner, that we have a community that is very engaged and they like to come to neighborhood meetings and they like to show up. And there's been some, dissatisfaction with having remote meetings. I think on a lot of people's parts, we like to have that interaction, but it's what we have to deal with right now. It's what we have to live with. And so I appreciate the suggestion and we will certainly look into it.
My second comment was something I did bring up at our last meeting, and I didn't see it in the notes reports. I wanted to bring it up again as a point of emphasis. Obviously, in addition to dealing with COVID-19, our country is currently in a very important time dealing with racial and social justice and policing. And I had requested at our last meeting that we go back to our police chief and ask as a what I would think would be the first priority of any new projects or
programs that we look at, because we truly value our police force here and our dedication to public safety. If there was anything our new chief felt was needed in regards to training, diversity, recruitment or initiatives, even mental wellness, health benefits that could help her staff, you know, navigate through this, but also be, you know, considered, you know, whatever we thought was best practices or you know, and how to respond to this. And I was wondering if there was any, you know, if my comment just got lost in my comment about disaster after disaster. But I, you know, have we gone back to our chief and asked, is there anything else on her wish list that she thinks her and her staff need in order to address, you know, the serious concerns that are being raised throughout our country today?
Certainly. And while the chief is not on our call this evening, I can tell you that she and I speak daily, and that I'm very tied into her needs. I will have some special requests out of that funding for the police department, some physical facility improvements, as well as a set aside for additional equipment. And we did reduce our recruiting budget as part of the cutbacks when we were going through our budget cutbacks, and I will be recommending that be restored. You know, we obviously want to continue to make that available, and that was something that, again, Chief Riley and I spoke about. She knows, you know, that what their needs are very, very important. And then, of course, we will have, if something were to come up we hadn't thought about, then we'll be making those requests. And as you know, the president came out just yesterday with an executive order that is being reviewed right now in terms of the department's compliance. I'm pleased to say that our department is very closely in compliance, it appears, but our chief is incredibly committed to making sure that that the Oro Valley Police Department is, you know, remains a good partner with our community, and that the community gets the kind of fair and just policing that they deserve. And so she will let me know if any resources are needed in order to meet any additional requirements that are coming from the White House or from the state. And I can assure you that it will be a top priority. And I appreciate your comment and your support, Commissioner.
Any other comments, Dave?
The other thing I mentioned again, we're talking about delaying capital projects and, you know, making sure they don't start again. I wanted to go back if, you know, given a new Congress will be seated in January, and it is quite probable that, you know, again, infrastructure or other things as part of the stimulus package may be part there. I just want to make sure that we do our due diligence to make sure that we have as many shovels ready, projects ready to go, to apply for as many different types of things that might be in a stimulus for infrastructure package, so that we can be first in the line. And again, whether it's environmental or conservation, water preservation, recreation, transportation, energy efficiency, any of the different types of things that could potentially be, you know, isolated out as separate pieces of there, that we're really thinking about all those different types of pots and how we could put different projects into those. So we can, you know, hopefully get as many different lists as possible.
Certainly, and our team is very aware and has always been a first in line, and I think we intend to continue to be first in line. So thank you for that again, Commissioner.
Are there any other questions? On the budget, before we get into this discussion on some of the things that our CFO put together and our comments.
Commissioner
David, maybe you should go through these bullet points with us, and then we can make any corrections or additions or whatever.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Let me try to bring that up here. Or if you have it, what?
I think they were sent out this morning.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you want me to read them? I have it right in front of me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kathy. Why don't you hit the first bullet?
Bullet number one. Concerns were expressed regarding revenue projections not being conservative enough. Most commissioners acknowledged the strong contention that monitoring revenue collections
I think you're freezing up, Kathy.
I must be having just problems with the, I'm not sure what's going on. All right, so can you not hear me?
We can now.
Okay, should I do it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, concerns were expressed regarding revenue projections not being conservative enough. Most commissioners acknowledged the strong contingency reserve included in the budget and concurred with management that monitoring revenue collections monthly is crucial to take management steps to reduce expenditures should that become necessary. Commission members expressed support for not dipping into the town council's designated 25% reserve.
Anybody have any comments?
We talked about that a little bit, that we're not as close to the 25% at this point since we have the additional 5 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that incorrect? Do you want us to make any changes?
My only comment on that was, I guess I would prefer that the comment be any reserve, not just the 25%, but that's the conservative approach to budgeting in this kind of an environment, just keeping your powder dry.
Yeah, I
think staff
care about keeping your powder dry. I definitely think that I'm comfortable with the Easy Cares money, and now that we're not going into the contingency phase, that this is a more conservative budget. Obviously, we have to be mindful about what, the downside of risk might be if we have another issue. However, I do think it's appropriate to say that being conservative does not mean never using that reserve. And I think it's reasonable for us that there is something that is calamitous beyond what has already been experienced. Or potentially foreseen, it is reasonable to go into that 25% reserve because that's what it's there for. Conservative budgeting is looking at not going into it now, even though we had a pandemic, and being conservative, knowing that we might have a second wave, and holding some reserve and some contingency. But if there's, again, an additional disaster above and beyond that, it is reasonable to go into that reserve. It's not always it shouldn't always be a walled off lockbox that we never touch. It should be something that we touch only in the most dire and distressed of times. And if we're dealing with an even greater distressed event beyond pandemic and second wave pandemic, I think we need to realize that it is not awful that we go in there. It's just bearing the fruit of our frugality and our wisdom of the past.
Yeah, I think the purpose for reserves are for emergencies. So make sure they're available while they're there.
And I do just want to point out again, Mr. Beasley, that the town has always used excess reserves for capital projects. And in fact, the council's strategic, or the council's financial policy very clearly says that any reserves, any excess reserves beyond the 25% is to be applied to capital or PSPRS. So technically, the fund balance at the end of the year is not your, is not the council's reserve. The 25% is the reserve. So, and again, we're getting into the commission last time indicated that you didn't want to take a vote on something, asked the staff to summarize the highlights of the comments. Mm-hmm. I will mention that I was just reminded that that document is not officially agendized, but if there are, if you feel that something did not be captured the way that you feel that the discussion went, we welcome your input and we'll be happy to send those additional comments to council. But I think most council members did listen to the deliberations, and you specifically indicated that it was not something that you would be voting on.
Yep. Okay. No problem.
And I will go back to the only thing I would enter in as an amendment was to that document would be, I did request at our last meeting to go back and ask that we have extra resources if needed or desired for police, given the racial justice movement, and that was not collected in the document.
And I think Commissioner Newell, what we tried to do is capture the major highlights and the common theme. So apologize for missing that component. There were a lot of individual comments and suggestions that we did not capture, but we'll be certain to pass that along to the council per your request.
Thank you.
I have a bullet too, Kathy.
All right, ready? Commission members generally supported an additional contribution toward the town's PSPRS liability, which was reflected in their recommendation for the updated PSPRS town policy on the town council's agenda. The commission also expressed support to find an ongoing revenue source for the supplemental PSPRS payment.
That capture what you had, Mike, reasonably well?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Next. Suggestions were made to management to monitor cash flow in making budgeted transfers. All right.
Yep.
Next. Commission members expressed support for funding only higher priority capital projects and for holding off on some capital expenditures until later in the fiscal year to allow time to monitor revenue projections and ensure the project can move forward.
Right. I think you said that's basically where you are, Mary. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. Agreed. And I
mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Commission members expressed interest in the manner in which CARES Act reimbursement funds would be deployed, and staff answered questions to the degree known at the time of the meeting. Members noted that these were one-time dollars.
We have more data on that now, so.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Commission members expressed interest in the new golf contractor and the way in which the town expected the new vendor would impact the community center fund. Staff indicated that the vendor had a stronger financial proposal and that it was expected it would have a positive impact on the fund. And looks like there's one more. The commission discussed the concept of a structurally unbalanced budget, which is when one-time revenues are covering ongoing expenses. The commission expressed support that the town continue to strive for structural balance while acknowledging the need to address the pandemic crisis in the coming fiscal year.
John, did you have a comment?
No. I think we all of our comments quite well. I don't want to belabor it, and I think it's concise and right to the point. Is there anything in there that the council members might question, or anything that needs more clarity? I couldn't find it.
I went through my notes, and I think it captured it pretty well.
It's good.
Mike, did you have anything?
No.
Oh, okay. The only way I can tell is if people pop up to a full screen. If you move, I guess. So.
I'm not doing anything over here, so.
Okay.
With the controls there.
Okay. Was there anything else anticipated as far as budget discussion is concerned? Okay. Can we have some council liaison comments? Are you still with us, Josh?
He's on mute, I think.
All right, hold on.
Councillor Nicholson unmuted, please.
Okay, there I am.
Here I am.
So yeah, Tobin sent me an email, so I know what I'm allowed and not allowed to say. So I guess I can't tell you guys thank you for your work and stuff. So I can talk about stuff we voted on. But I did see you on there last time, Mike. So anyways, I just want to mention that while I get in trouble. So we voted on, you guys know about the Preserve of Stoso and the situation with the golf course. So we did vote to direct staff to, to talk to the their conservation fund. So there's a, I don't know how much I can explain from the vote, but basically fund, essentially buying it from Romspen, and then they hand it over to another place. Like they could hand it over to Preserve Resist or the town. All those details are, I don't know much about that, but I do know that we're directing staff to communicate with them to see if there's an opportunity for the conservation fund to buy the golf course from Romson, and then, you know, the details beyond that are not ironed out at all, but just for us to have staff to talk to them, see if there's a way for them to do something with Preserve Estoso. Mary, you probably succinct that a little better than I can, but.
I think you covered it. Now it's in my hands and we're proceeding.
So anything else you guys want to know about me? I don't know if I can answer questions or not, if you guys can ask questions, but that's really a big thing. And then obviously we are doing the budget. We're getting briefings all the time about the fire that's going on and how that affects us. That's really the big vote that went on, and we're obviously listening to what you guys are doing, and I'm still going to say it. I appreciate all the work that you guys do. I know you're doing this for free. I guess that's it. I'm not used to doing these, so I was never given instructions on how I'm supposed to do this part of my portion, but I'm learning now. So thank you, guys.
Thank you for your comments. Future agenda items, is there anything different than what we talked about last time?
Just one thought about additional items down the road is, I think I mentioned something to Commissioner Beasley about maybe commission training. As an example, I know when we first signed up, we had just a little training session on holding meetings and stuff like that. And I was thinking maybe if we had something in the lines of the financial and budget side, just because I've noticed when we had discussions that sometimes terminology trips people up on what the true meetings are. And, you know, governmental accounting, it's not like it's always that complex, but it does have a different language unto itself. So I was just wondering if it would be good at some point that, you know, a session could be just, you know, covering terminology, or if the other commissioners have thoughts on what could be in there, you know, what's in the CAFR, you know, what's the budgeting process, what's, you know, state laws that impact, you know, as the major ones, you don't have to cover them all, but just something that's kind of a general that when new people come on, that they can kind of come up to, you know, catch up and have time to understand what's being said sooner than later. So just a thought there. If anybody has any other thoughts, that would be welcome as well.
Fund accounting is kind of unique to governments. And giving us a little training session on that, I think, never hurts, particularly when you relate it back to the budgets and your cash flows and that type.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Mason, we would be happy to put that together, and I'll work with Mr. Gephardt to find one of your upcoming agendas that maybe has some room in it, and maybe we can provide you with an outline ahead of time. So if you think that we're missing something, that you can say, hey, can you make sure we go over X, Y, or Z? Absolutely, we would be happy to do that. So thank you for that suggestion.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Are we gonna go over the financial policies at some future session as well then?
We are, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Mason, we're working on a tasking right now, so that you know what, remember we did that for the permanent base adjustment. So here's what it is, here's the process, here's when you need to be done kind of thing. So we can work with you on that. We actually, I think Dave and I thought that we'd probably have a tasking available to review with you at your next regular meeting. So that's our plan.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So just taking that one step further in a permanent base adjustment, will we be sort of kept up to date as to what's happening with that, just for information flow?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, if you're willing to re-recognize me under staff update again at your discretion.
You're recognized.
I will gladly provide you with an update on where we are. As you know, it's on the ballot for the August election. We have we now have a web page for it. Dave actually just recorded a video today. We're doing both a short form and a long form informational video, and we're doing live Zoom meetings next week, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we've got things going out in our water bills. We have ads going in the newspaper. We have a very robust information effort in order, you know, because this is different, right? This we don't have the opportunity. Typically what we do is we go to Rotaries and we go to HOAs and we go to, you know, that. So we've reimagined how it is that we can get the information out to our residents, and our team has done a really terrific job. So we're going to take advantage of the technology to reach our residents and our voters. And I think we'll know more after our meeting next week to find out what the questions are. I will tell you, if you didn't see, if you're not registered with Flash Vote, We also got information from our residents on their knowledge of permanent-based adjustment and home rule, which helped inform us in terms of those topic areas that we needed to focus on that people were not familiar with. The good news is our residents were very familiar with home rule. So we know that since they're familiar with home rule, we just need to draw the, you know, show them the differences. So that's kind of our focus. But, you know, we haven't had I haven't heard any negative comments yet, but it's nobody's gotten their ballot yet. You know, that should come out, I believe, in the next couple weeks. People will start getting their ballots, which is why we want to make sure all of this information is on our website, in their mailboxes, ready to go in case they have questions.
When do the absentee ballots go out?
I believe our town clerk can answer that question, Mike.
Yes, Ms. Jacobs. So the early ballots will start going out July 8th, and then also our publicity pamphlet for the permanent base adjustment
Correct.
Scheduled to go out by June 26th.
Correct. Yeah, that was the last piece I didn't mention. So that's the required state law piece. So check in all those boxes. All of our materials are very thoroughly reviewed by our legal counsel to make sure that that we follow the laws as far as education effort only. And I feel very confident that that's what we're doing.
Great.
And thank you for asking that question, Commissioner. We probably should have provided you with an update on that.
Well, I saw that Dave was having some Zoom meetings, so it'd be interesting. Now, are these going to be live or are these the pre-recorded ones?
Live.
Live.
We will have videos and we will have the live.
Okay.
Okay. Pray for me.
Pray for you. Right? Well, you can always get all fuzzy there with some technical difficulties, right? Okay. Does anybody have anything else that we need to get out? If not, can I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I don't see anybody object. So thank you very much, everybody. Stay safe. Stay out of the fires. No coronavirus.
Right. Good luck, John. Hope you don't have to evacuate.
Yep.
I'm by the phone.
Take care, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.